Well, anyway, what I want to talk about this evening is something that, as we'll run across this as we're studying the minor prophets in our Wednesday night class, it's the story that Haggai tells, and it's a story I hadn't really thought about, and I know I've preached on this topic before, but it's interesting to read Haggai and what he has to say about the house of the Lord. And he asks a question. One of the very first things he says to the children of Israel is, does the Lord's house lie in ruins? You know, and the idea was that Judah, you know, as we know, had been taken captive into Babylon. They had been there for 70 years, and they were finally allowed to return back home. But the premise of this return back home, the reason for this return back home, is God had commanded that His temple be rebuilt. And they got back, and they made a start of it, and then something happened. There other things started getting in the way. They started to take higher priority than rebuilding God's temple. And because of this, you know, God had to send somebody to them. He sent Haggai. And Haggai's message is one that we would do well to listen to. It still applies today. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Haggai, it says, "In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, The time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled house, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag of holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heaven above you withholds the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, and on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. You know, Haggai, you know, had a message for the people, and that message is, you're having problems, and there is a reason for it. You know, you were asked to do something. You know, he says in verse 7, the Lord of hosts says, consider your ways. Something is wrong. And the fact was that they had abandoned God and His work that He had set them to do. And the message that Haggai had to bring, you know, you look at the reception that it got, the attitude that he ran into when he got there. You know, he says in verse 2, it says, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." You know, basically, what are they saying? It's like, well, we're busy. There's no time. We can't build the house of the Lord. You know, the time isn't here yet. The schedule's kind of booked up. You know, that slot ain't made it to the today yet. You know, the idea was that they had too many other problems to deal with. You know, it says their reasoning in not building the Lord's house, it says it's made clear in Haggai that it was because they were building their own houses. They were taking care of their own problems instead of God's. In verses 3 through 4, it says, "The word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins?" You know, what did they do? They fixed their house up. You know, paneled housing back then, you know, that's basically a way of saying finished houses, you know, decorated even maybe. You know, their houses were plain and simple, and yet he's describing these here. He says living in paneled houses, completed, even with the insides decorated and trimmed out, as we would say today. You know, Haggai says that, you know, God is not happy with people that put their things first. You know, it says because they had put themselves ahead of the Lord that they had prospered little. Yeah, they had managed to take care of some of the things that they were struggling with. But it says in verse 6, beginning, it says, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it in a bag of holes." Things were not adding up. The ends were not meeting. You know, there were still problems. And God says, it's because you're not serving me. It's because you're not taking care of my needs and my problems. The Lord wished for an obedient and for a loving people. People that cared about Him. And they had failed in that. And it's interesting, you know, to see that once Haggai has told them what the Lord has done and what He is going to continue to do, you know, you see that they listened and they obeyed. You know, God made it very clear. He says, "Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil and on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock and on all the labor of your hands." You know, the idea that's being portrayed here is because, you know, God is being neglected. Because God is not being put first in their lineup of things to do, that they are not going to have the things that they want, the things that they need. Now, if you will seek first God, like it says in Matthew chapter 6, God is basically explaining this to Israel here. He said, "If you will go and build my temple that I might take pleasure in it and be glorified, then you'll have what you need." So I guess another point that I want to make today is, you know, are we faithfully attending to the Lord's house today? You know, we may not have a literal temple to rebuild. We may not have a physical structure even to work on. But we have a similar task today. God does not dwell in a temple made with hands, as you see in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and in verse 24. It says, "God who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that he might that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And in him, for in him we live and move and have our being. For as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. You know, we have to seek God. We have to seek his needs. And while that may not be building a temple or a physical building today, it is there is a fact that we have a house of the Lord to build. We have to build and work on his church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2 beginning. It says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. You know, it's clear that Paul includes everyone that is seeking God, seeking Jesus, calling on his name in the church of God. And it is our duty to maintain that church. Also, chapter 3 and verse 1 Corinthians, chapter 3 and in verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So as Christians, as fellow members of one another, as the temple of God, we have to make sure that we maintain its holiness. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 16 says, for what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So if we are not maintaining our holiness, if we are not maintaining our separation, then God is not going to receive us. So that is our job today. And though it is a spiritual structure, it is still under construction and will be until the end of time. We must make sure that we are building upon it, upon the foundation that was laid by Jesus. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 and in verse 19 it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So this building is constantly, this temple is being constantly added to, being constructed, and it has to remain on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Otherwise, it will not stand. And another verse, you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God will not permit someone to build upon his foundation something that is not appropriate. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 5, if I can get there. It says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So it is important, it is essential, that we take heed what we do, how we build, if you will. Because if you are not holy, if you are not set apart, if you are not building upon the foundation, then your work will be destroyed. And we have a duty to see that God's house is maintained until He comes again. And like in Haggai's day, does the house of the Lord lie in ruins while we run to our own home? Sometimes, as Christians, we neglect God's house. We neglect the work that we have been laid down to do. We don't build as we should. We don't even make it to the foundation. If we allow other things to keep us from doing our part, and we neglect in the edification of others, which is how we build the temple, how we build this building, then we are failing God. We have the responsibility of teaching and serving. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 19 beginning. Jesus laid this responsibility on our shoulders, on the apostles' shoulders, and told them to continue this until He comes back. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." So the apostles were instructed to make disciples, to make believers out of all the earth. And as you read further on throughout the Bible, they were to also teach those disciples to teach others to build that building, that temple for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 19. It says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law." To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but with under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. You know, Paul did whatever he could, however he could, in order to do his job, in order to proclaim the gospel and to spread God's word and His will, to build that temple. Also, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5 and in verse 13. It says, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. We have a responsibility. We have to fulfill all our calling, as it is mentioned here. 1 Peter chapter 4, we read yesterday. 1 Peter chapter 4, it instructs us on how we are supposed to live in light of the fact that Jesus has given Himself for us. It is our responsibility. In verse 10 beginning, it says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever." We are supposed to be carrying out that ministry for Jesus' sake, as it mentions previously in chapter 4. We are to build God's temple by exercising our responsibilities, edifying one another, ministering to one another. And it's inexcusable if we put off our responsibility. And many do. They make excuses. They go and they run and they take care of their own things. They dwell in their paneled houses. They build their life up to a point where you can tell that they are working very hard on their life, on their physical life. But when it comes to their spiritual life, there are dust and cobwebs. And it's sad. And they will serve the Lord only when it is convenient. And they say, "Well, when I have time, I'll do this or that." Whenever, you know, a good day comes around, we'll go out and we'll do this for God. We'll do that for God. You know, but when it comes to something that's important to them, when it comes to taking care of their own responsibilities, our responsibilities, sometimes we'll make more time for that. We'll throw other things out the window if we have to. But when it comes to something that we think we have to do for, say, paying our bills or whatever it might be, then we'll make all kind of time for that. But what about God? What about maintaining our brothers and sisters? Sometimes our brothers and sisters can be struggling to the point where they might even be about to be lost, to fall back into their old ways, and yet we're too busy with our own things to see or even to take action. And God says that's not right. Many go about their own ways, building in their own lives, while the Lord's house lies in ruin. In Haggai's day, it was not time to put other things in front of the Lord's house, nor is it in our time today as well. We must put God and His kingdom first in our lives. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. We all know what that verse says. I'm going to turn there just so I don't misquote it, as I'm prone to do when I'm up here speaking. It says, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." We have a responsibility to live each and every day for God. Not for ourselves, not for our bills. I mean, I know those things are important, and I'm not saying that we should go around neglecting our families and our homes, but we got to make sure that we make time for God and not let those things that seem to be so important force God out. Because we saw what happened with Haggai and the Israelites, when they thought that, and they were right, their things that they were doing were important. They were putting roofs over their heads, food in their mouths, taking care of their family. But there's more ways to take care of a family and a house than just physical walls and physical food. As God's people, we must consider our ways. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 37. It says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." We've got to pay attention to what we're doing. And if the scales are not balanced out, if God does not sit here and outweigh everything else, then there is a problem. You notice in Haggai chapter 1 and then verse 5 what God has to say. Haggai chapter 1. And in verse 5, he says, "Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." In verse 7, he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." We've got to pay attention to what we're doing. And if we are wondering why things don't work out in our lives, if we're wondering why we seem to have more bills than money all the time, no matter what we do, maybe there's a problem somewhere else. Perhaps the Lord is trying to tell us that if we would just put Him first in our lives, He would provide. Perhaps He is telling us that if we need some help in our lives, that we need to go back to His house, turn to our brothers and sisters, ask for some help, lean on each other as we should. Because if we neglect God's work, we won't have His help. We won't have the support of our brothers and sisters. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 6. "But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, 'He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever.' Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through the many thanksgivings to God." These things, these physical needs that we have in this life, and I've said it before, and I don't know how to make it any simpler, but God is willing, God is able, that if we will give it for Him, if we will use it for Him, these physical things we have, our time, our money, our food, if we will use it for His purpose, then He will bless us. He will make us have an abundance, as it says here, to do even more work for Him. But the second that you stop, the second that you neglect God's work, that you neglect His ministry, then these blessings, these physical things, are going to dry up. As we see with Haggai and his people, as they were trying, they thought, to make it a go of it back in their homeland. They forgot God. They forgot to lean upon Him. They forgot to take care of His house. Fortunately, they took heed to Haggai's reminder, to his message. And they returned. And they went back to building God's house. I am with you, saith the Lord. Haggai 1, verse 13. This phrase is similar to what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. As God's people, we have His full assurance that if we will observe what He tells us, what He commands us, then He will always be with us, just as He was with those of Israel charged with rebuilding His house. This blessed assurance, however, is only for those who put the Lord's house first, before their own houses, before their own needs, and before it, most definitely, before their own desires. If we will remember this, if we will remember that giving our lives and giving our physical things up for God, using them for His service, if we will remember to do that, that we might be blessed, then our lives would be so much easier, so much better. No one would have a lack. We could cover all kinds of shortcomings if we would just lean on each other and lean on God and do what He asks of us. And that's what our family is here for. I know sometimes we get in a bind and it just don't seem like things are going to work out. Tell your family. Let God know. Something will be done to help you out. And I personally will make a pledge on my part that if anybody needs help, needs a hand, come ask me. I may not have the time, but I'll tell you what, I will make it. And that is what we are supposed to do as Christians, as servants of God, as part of His house. And that's the message I want to leave you with this evening. If there's anyone here who would like to become a child of God, or if there's anyone here who would like to repent of a sin, if either is the case, we stand ready to assist you as we stand and sing.